It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello, welcome, one and all. It is time for news to me. Hello, hello. Wow, we got all sorts of people in comm today, including Northern Lights, John M, M Stoney, Snowdusk, DJ Snowdusk, and just a whole crew, probably SMJ and Tobe, and Jazzmas always is listening. So, very, very good times. So, welcome, welcome. what a good time. It's always a lot of fun. I found this new sound in my while I was looking for startup sounds. Oh, and don't forget Publius. Hello, hello. But this little startup sound I thought was pretty cool. It was like, hey, that kind of works. All right. Well, there's a lot of news today. Some of it happy, some of it sad. Well, let's just say it's going to be
world news.
World news. Because that's how we always start. All right, so let's go ahead and get going. We start with, you know, typical fare. German chemical park explosion. One dead and four missing. Pollution risk ruled out after blast at waste facility in Leverkusen sends large black cloud into the air. So, yeah, an explosion in an industrial park for chemical companies in Germany has killed at least one person, with 16 injured and four missing. Fire officials who tested the air said that there did not appear to be a danger to nearby residents after authorities initially urged people to shelter inside. The explosion at the waste management facility of the Chempark site in the city of Leverkusen near Cologne sent a large black cloud into the air. It took firefighters almost 4 hours to extinguish the fire that took hold after the explosion. Germany's Federal Office for Civil Protection and Disaster Assistance initially classified the incident as an extreme threat. Later on Tuesday, however, the Cologne Fire Department tweeted that measurements of the air pollution do not show any kind of abnormality. They said the smoke had receded, but that they would continue to measure the air for toxins. So, there we have it. So, yeah, it's very sad. There's not currently any word on what's going on there. The Daily newspaper reported that the smoke cloud was moving in a northwestern direction towards the town of Burscheid and Leiklingen. Leverkusen is home to Bayer, one of Germany's biggest chemical companies. It's about 163,000 residents and borders Cologne. Fun fact, I grew up in Palacios, Texas, which is about, I don't know, 15 minutes or so drive to Lolita, Texas. And Lolita, Texas is where Interplast plastic plant is, and also Formosa, an oil refinery. And growing up, more than once, there were big explosions there. I dated a girl for a long time, and one of her brother-in-law, he was standing on one of the crackers when they're called crackers, those giant silos that break the hydrocarbons up, and it blew up, and he got messed up. So, but he made a recovery and he kept working there. So it's been years since I've thought of him. So anyway, it's right there near Port Lavaca, Texas. The Formosa Plastics, Lolita, Texas is the town that it's in, or it might be Point Comfort, depending on where you are. The Interplast Plastics place, I think it's just down. I used to work at Interplast. Anyway. what fun. Anyway, let's keep moving. We got lots of world news to talk about, not just explosions.
World news.
All right, Assam-Mizoram clash. Why are Indian policemen firing at each other? At least five policemen in India have died after police from two states fired at each other. The unusual incident happened along the border between Assam and Mizoram states in northeastern India. Officials from both sides, including chief ministers, have accused each other of provoking violence. The firing incident follows months of simmering tensions over a long-running border dispute between the two states. Assam shares a 164-kilometer, or 101-mile border, with Mizoram, and both states contest its demarcation. The two sides have often sparred over it, sometimes violently. I'm getting lots and lots of messages. Okay. Sorry, I have to bring my work phone with me because there have been a few times where I'm doing the show and I miss alerts from work and then people are very upset. Or I don't want to say upset, they're just like, where did Marcus go? Alright, so anyway, there's a border dispute. Mizoram and Assam, along with five other states, are in the northeast region of India, which runs from the Himalayas just below Tibet to Bangladesh. Under colonial rule, Lushai Hills, as Mizoram was known, was part of Assam. The region only gained recognition in 1972, almost three decades after India's independence, when it became a separate federally administered area. In 1987, it became a full-fledged state. Three districts in Assam, Cachar, Hailakand, and Karimganj, share a 164-mile border with three districts. So, basically, yes, Calm is having fun with me today. Welcome, Handy C. Welcome. So there's some border disputes between the states, and it's boiling over. The United States, I think we had a few of those state battles, but it all happened before anybody had cameras or thought to write stuff down. All right. Well, let's keep focus. Gotta focus.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
Don't tell anybody. All right. Focusing. All right. Let's go to Africa real quick. Ennahda calls for dialogue to resolve Tunisia's political crisis. Tunisia's largest political party has called for dialogue to resolve the crisis, changing tact after initially urging MPs and its supporters to protest on Monday. We talked about that. In a statement published on Tuesday, the Islamist Ennahda party reiterated that they considered President Saied's decision to suspend parliament and sack the prime minister as unconstitutional, but took a more conciliatory approach, calling on Saied to reverse the measures. Tunisia is considered the success story from the Arab Spring revolutions and is facing deep political uncertainty. We talked a lot about it yesterday. Ennahda Davida. we'll see what happens here. This is a move in the right direction if they're able to kind of come together or convince the president to stop overthrowing the government. A couple hundred protesters did gather on Monday. However, the turnout was limited and mixed, with groups there to support the president and others to oppose. They moved to a position of containment, not opposition, as it was in the first place, said Hamza Medeb, analyst at the Carnegie Middle East Center, adding that the number of supporters that came out was lower than Ennahda had expected. So, yeah, just as a heads up, some of these stories, they're not really super deep. Like, we covered them already, and so it's like I feel like I'm repeating myself over and over. So, blah, blah. All right, let's get this moving. It's time to get into, you better believe it. It's time to get into the COVID stuff.
Resistance is futile.
All right, so checking out. Let's go through. We got some heavy COVID news. First, Brazil. Why are so many pregnant women dying? COVID-19 has critically affected pregnant women in Brazil, with more than 1,000 deaths. One in five women that died from the virus didn't have access to an intensive care unit, and one in three didn't have access to a ventilator. So far, Brazil has recorded more than 530,000 coronavirus-related deaths, and only 45% of the population has received at least one dose of the vaccine. Why is it happening? No, they don't know. They're just saying that people don't have access to the hospital. There is a video that's 3 whole minutes long that also doesn't explain it. But it is a heads up that pregnant women are an at-risk group when it comes to this virus. In Chile, Chileans tapped into pensions to survive the pandemic. And now what? Yeah, exactly. Carolina Zillman, age 59, owns a small plot of land near La Serena in northern Chile. She lives by herself and takes on jobs as a landscaper to make ends meet. She also has a small cabin she rents out for $527 to add to her income. But so far during the pandemic, Zillman has made 2 withdrawals of 1 million pesos each, which is $1,317 U.S., from a retirement account to cover her personal expenses. She used the money to pay overdue property taxes and make needed home repairs. She now has 6 million pesos less left in her individual account, with 1 year to go before she's eligible for retirement, which Chile sets at 60 for women and 65 for men. Zillman does not know when she will retire, but is confident she will be fine because she expects to receive an inheritance from her mother in the coming months. That's kind of dark. I'm not really worried about retirement. My mom's going to die soon. The same may not hold true for legions of other Chileans who have collectively withdrawn billions of dollars from their pension funds to weather the pandemic's financial storm. I'm not scared of the future, Zillman told Al Jazeera, but many people are because they have no money saved for when they get old. So, yeah. Chile celebrated $200 billion private pension system based on individual capital accounts has served as a model for dozens of emerging markets since it was established 40 years ago during the military dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet, famous. The system was trailblazing. Chile was the first country to issue a government-backed pension system and replace it with mandatory private retirement savings. Over the past several decades, Chile has boasted one of the fastest-growing economies in Latin America, but the narrative of the neoliberal miracle of Chile obscured severe inequalities. More than 30% of the country's people are considered economically vulnerable, according to World Bank, and income inequality remains high. So, very interesting. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's where Bruce Wayne got all his millions from life insurance. What happened? Oh, sorry, I was catching up on Calm. Welcome, Salted Egg. Welcome, welcome. Well, don't worry, there's still more tragedy involved. But first, let's talk about something helpful. What is the Lambda coronavirus variant? Well, the virus that causes the disease is SARS-CoV-2. And has mutated multiple times, with some strains being more infectious and deadlier than others. Currently, the World Health Organization has classified 4 of those mutations as variants of concern: Alpha, Beta, Gamma, and Delta. 4 others, Eta, Iota, Kappa, and Lambda, have been designated as variants of interest. And in recent weeks, the rapid spread of the Lambda strain, first detected in Peru, has caught the attention of various experts. Lambda is currently the dominant variant in the Andean nation, which has the highest per capita coronavirus death rate in the world, while it has also spread to at least 28 other countries, including Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, and the United Kingdom. So, according to data from the Global Initiative on Sharing All Influenza Data, a platform which countries share their COVID viral sequences, the Lambda strains reached 28 countries, and the mutation observed in the spike protein might be the reason for its increased transmissibility, and it could provide a reduction of protection by current vaccines, according to a study released in July by a team of New York University's Grossman School of Medicine. According to virologist Ricardo Soto Rifo of the University of Chile's Institute of Biomedical Services, one of the mutations labeled as Lima 452 Quebec, or L452Q, was similar to a mutation also shown in the Delta variant that's believed to have contributed to the strain's high rate of infection. So, there's not a lot of data going on with it. Should we be concerned? Not yet, said Dr. Rosalind Lemus-Martin, who holds a PhD in molecular and cell biology. At the beginning, we were really concerned. We thought that due to its characteristics, Lambda could be more transmissible than Delta. But right now, in the US, for example, we've seen that Delta keeps being the dominant strain, and we've noticed it is Lambda is not spreading as quickly. So, hey, you know what? It's not as bad as it could be, I guess. Unless you're in Senegal. Senegal's health ministry said Monday that hospitals in the capital of Dakar were close to saturation due to a surge in COVID-19 patients, with overworked medical personnel facing burnout. The West African country has suffered a third wave of virus infections in recent weeks, with cases rising from a few dozen a day last month to about 1,700 in July. Health authorities have registered most of the new cases in Dakar, a city of over 3 million people. The National Director of Public Health Institutions, Ousmane Diallo, told AFP that the third wave had been more severe than the previous two. "We're overwhelmed and close to saturation, with almost 99% of beds occupied," he said, explaining that the city has 602 hospital beds. "Medical staff in the capital are very tired and burned out. Bed occupancy stands at about 45% in the rest of the country. A surge in coronavirus cases is causing a delay in receiving COVID test results in the poor nation of 16 million people." So, Senegal has recorded over 57,000 cases since the start of the pandemic, of which more than 1,200 have been fatal. There are fears that the last week's festival of Eid al-Adha, which saw many people travel to meet family, will increase the caseload. We'll see. But yeah, long way to go there. I mean, that's kind of what happens. But you know what?
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
It's music time. This COVID stuff is heavy. I'm already depressed. Austin's in stage 4. We'll probably hit stage 5 before anybody cares or does anything. Lots of stuff to do. So much is happening. But you know. We'll just make it work. We're gonna make it work. And speaking of making it work, let's see if we can't get. No, I'm not gonna do that. What about? Oh yeah, he got stoned to death. While I was looking for a song, a guy in, was it Fort Worth, right? Here, I can read that story. Shucks, this is what happens when your host is run down at work. All right, here we go. Texas gunman stoned to death after shooting into crowd, killing one and injuring three. A gunman was stoned to death by a group of people after he shot and killed one person and injured three others. According to the report, the incident occurred around 1 a.m. on Monday in Fort Worth, where a small gathering was happening in someone's backyard. Police believe the shooter became upset with the person during the gathering and returned with a gun, shooting at least one person. Police say the shooter was then chased by several partygoers, which prompted the shooter to fire into the pursuing crowd. In response to being fired upon, police say the pursuing mob began to pelt the gunman with landscaping stones and bricks. The gunman was repeatedly stoned by the pursuing crowd, police said, but still managed to fire his weapon several times, striking at least two more people. One of the individuals struck by the gunfire died from their injuries. The gunman was killed at the scene after being repeatedly struck with stones and bricks by the partygoers. Police say all involved individuals in the incident knew each other. So, properly stoned the guy to death. But no word on if they're going to be charged or what's going to happen there. Anyway, here's Sublime and the song "Let's Go Get Stoned." I swear sometimes you're taking me for granted. I swear sometimes you're poor. I swear, but I know there ain't no reason, 'cause everything is such a someone else's view.
My goodness.
X1! Huzzah! So glad you're here. But I know
said, fuck the motherfucker, you biting and shit.
I was an ant crawling in the park. Tell me, baby, would it make no difference at all?
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, that's right. That is right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is news to me. We've got started. I don't know. What is time? How is it already time? Almost time to go? We've got not a lot of oil left in our lamp. About 5 minutes and some change. So let's get these headlines knocked out, and then we'll try and not cry about our fate. Never mind. I had a headline, and it said, I thought it said baby's HIV state, but it's Da Baby, which is, I guess, a musician. So we're gonna skip that story, and hooray! We can celebrate that a baby with HIV wasn't in the news. All right, let's talk about just some tech stuff. Cool tech stuff. Let's do that. That'll be less sad. Where's my tech news thing?
It's time for tech news.
All right. Publius is funny sometimes. All right. Let's get going. All right, tech stuff. So here's a few cool tech stories. A French robotics engineer named Jean-Louis Costanza, not George Costanza, has built a robotic suit for his 16-year-old son, Oscar, that allows him to walk. Oscar's a wheelchair user, and he activates the suit by saying, "Robot, stand up," and it then walks for him. Jean-Louis co-founded the company that builds the suit, which can allow users to move upright for a few hours a day. It's used in hospitals in several countries, but it isn't yet available for everyday use by individuals, and it has a price tag of around 150,000 euros, or 127,000 pounds. A personal exoskeleton would need to be much lighter, the company's engineers said. So, this is more of a therapeutic tool, it seems like, than other, but pretty cool, pretty cool. Nigeria has reportedly lost $243 million 51 days after its Twitter ban. The decision by President Muhammadu Buhari's government to ban Twitter in Africa's most populous country in June has dealt a blow to its revenue ambitions. According to NetBlock's Cost of Shutdown Tools, which uses the classic free digital app GDP impact technique, Nigeria has lost at least $243 million in the past 51 days. Despite this, Twitter on Thursday posted stronger-than-expected earnings for the second quarter, thanks to growing advertising demand across all geographic regions and types of ad product. The San Francisco-based company earned $65.6 million, or 8 cents per share, in the April-June quarter. That's up from a loss of $1.38 billion, or $1.75 a share, a year earlier. So, there we have it. And we're going to have to speed it up. Speed, focus, activate. Athletes are refusing to fight Israeli opponents. Second athlete sent home from Tokyo Olympics for refusing to face Israeli opponent. Ads are jumping in my face. Screw you, independent. A second judoka has dropped out of the Tokyo 2020 Olympics before facing Israel's Tohar Butbul. Sudan's Mohammed Adal Rasul weighed in for the 73-kilogram division bout on Monday, but then failed to show up. The International Judo Foundation didn't immediately announce a reason why. Sudanese Olympic officials also didn't immediately comment. Algeria's Fethi Nourine was sent home from Tokyo's games and suspended on Saturday after he withdrew. "We worked a lot to reach the Olympics, but the Palestinian cause is bigger than all of this." So that's the reason why there. Police tell of medieval violence at U.S. Senate hearing on the Capitol attack. A congressional committee is meeting today to talk about the insurrection on January 6th. Four police officers talked about the mob and the attack, saying that Trump's supporters engaged in medieval violence and warnings from lawmakers against whitewashing the riot. Jeff Bezos offered NASA $2 billion in exchange for a moon mission. Okay. Offered $2 billion in exchange for a moon mission contract. So, very weird indeed. If the U.S. Space Agency reverses course and chooses his company to put people back on a moon. So, we'll see if NASA can be bought. And an exhibition tells story of Spanish children uses vaccine fridges in 1803. Very interesting indeed. That's over there at The Guardian. But we're out of time. So thanks so much for listening. I'll try and be on time tomorrow.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. And every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Oh, golly. What time is it? Let's count down. 12, 10, 9.